I thought that since this week's Sedra contains the mitzvah of Spiras HaOmer, it would be a good idea to concentrate on that and speak about the various ideas, Tamei HaMitzvah, that are given for Spiras HaOmer. Start with the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim and the Ran all say a similar idea. And that is, after we achieved our freedom on the first day of Pesach, we begin to anxiously await and long for the goal of that freedom. The goal of the freedom was that we should be able to receive the Torah, which is the most important factor in a Jew's life, in Jewish history. And the Chinuch says that in order to be able to really achieve anything and appreciate anything, a person has to have a she'ifa, he has to aspire towards it. He has to long for it. And he gives an example: as much as a slave longs for a moment of rest in the cool shade, that's how intensely a person has to long and await for the Torah. He has to have a tremendous, tremendous desire. So in order to be able to receive the Torah properly, we count anxiously towards that goal. Now, just let me qualify that a little bit. I don't remember if it was in this class or the other class that we spoke about goals and aspirations and how to reach them. But part of the mitzvah of Spiras HaOmer reflects how a person has to aspire towards goals. Firstly, like we said, if you don't appreciate something and you don't aspire and long for it, you'll never accomplish anything. That's why the Medrash says, Hakol b'kivui, everything comes only if you long for it, if you desire it. My Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Gifter Zatzal, explained that there are a few Gemaras that have the same style, and you can ask the same question and give the same answer on all of them. For instance, the Gemara says, Man deboy lemehevei chasida, a person who wants to be a chasid should learn the laws of brachos and nezikin and pirkei avos. Or another Gemara, similar style, Harotza lahachkim, a person who wants to be wise should daven towards the south, because the menorah was in the south and the menorah is a symbol of wisdom. So my Rosh Yeshiva asks, the Gemara never wastes a letter, let alone a word. Why didn't it just say simply, Hayadrim Yachkim? If you daven to the south, you'll be a Chacham. If you learn Avos, Brachos, and Nezikin, you'll be a Chosid. Why did it have to preface, whoever wants to be a Chacham, whoever wants to be a Chosid, do X, Y, and Z? Just tell me, if you do X, Y, and Z, you'll be a Chacham, you'll be a Chosid. He said very simply, if you don't want to be a Chacham, you can daven south 1,000 times a day, you'll never be a Chacham. Everything starts with a desire. You have to want it. So in order to be able to receive the Torah properly, we have to want it. We have to desire it. So therefore, God gives a mitzvah yearly to count anxiously the days towards Spiras HaOmer. However, the way of the world is, I remember when my children were young, so this time of year coincides with the end of school, which reminds me, when exactly do your exams begin? How many more weeks do we have before, what?
The last
day, it's the last day, but how many weeks before that do you have exams? Huh? After that. Ah, so till June 2nd we have class? That's great. Okay, good. Okay. Very good. Okay. So we have plenty of weeks left. Okay. In any case, so normally right, as my children did when they were younger, along with Sfiras HaOmer, they also had another count. They were counting HaGomer towards the end of school, anxiously. But the two counts were different. The count that they counted to the end of school was counting down. 10 days, 9 days, 8 days. That's the normal way. The Sfiras HaOmer, we count up. Strange. Now, the idea is that you can't just aspire. I want. You have to have a program with short-range goals how to reach that program. The story they tell of a person who wanted very, very much to be a multimillionaire. But he knew that according to the natural way of the world, if he worked for the next 1,000 years and saved every penny, he still wouldn't be a multimillionaire. There was only one way in this world that he could possibly be a multimillionaire, if he won the lottery. So every day he davened to the Rabbanu Shel Olam at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, God, please let me win the lottery. And he begged and he cried. And he said, God, I promise you, if I win the lottery, half of it goes to tzedakah right off the bat. The other half I'll use only for Torah and mitzvahs. You only have to gain if I win the lottery. And this went on for 20 years. Every day, 3 times a day, he begged and cried, please let me win the lottery. Finally, after 20 years, this is not a chazal, just a story. After 20 years, the malachim came to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and they said, we can't take this anymore. Every day we got to listen to this guy cry and beg, let me win the lottery, let me win the lottery. He sounds pretty sincere. What would be so terrible if he won the lottery? And God said, I'd love him to win the lottery. He never bought a ticket. You can want and want and want, but if you don't do anything to realize your goals, you'll never reach them. So there's more than just wanting. You have to put it into practice. And that's like a ladder. You have to have long-range goals. I want to get to receiving the Torah all the way up there on the 50th rung. But you don't just sit on the ground and say, when will I get up to the 50th rung? You climb one rung at a time. So we count, not down. Counting down is, I can't wait for that 50th day to come and just get all the other days out of the way. It's not going to happen. Each day, aside from counting it, you have to make the day count. What am I going to do today that will bring me a little bit closer to my goal? So that's why we count up instead of down, one idea. Second idea is that in Sfiras HaOmer, we count the days and we count the weeks. I haven't seen anybody who asked this question, except for me. And if you have seen somebody ask this question, I'd love to know who asks it, and I'd like to know what the answer they give. But I'll tell you what the question is, and what my answer, I have at least one answer is. The question is like this. We don't count the days and the weeks symmetrically. Last night, we counted 13. That means that when we counted 13, we were saying, this is going to be the 13th day. It's the beginning of the 13th. This is going to be the 13th day. Last week, we counted 7. Okay? And we said, this is 7 days, which makes 1 week. If we count the weeks symmetrically to the days, we should count the week at the beginning of the week. And the first day, we should say, this is 1 day of the Omer, which will be 1 week. Just like 1 day means this is going to be 1 day. We're starting at the beginning of the day and counting the day. Why don't we count the week at the beginning of the week, too? We count the week at the end of the week, and we count the day at the beginning of the day. So one answer I was thinking of is, ever bother you? Do you ever see anybody who asked that question? Okay. One of the answers they have, I have another answer, which maybe we'll get to at some point, not today. But one of the answers is the following. In longing and aspiring towards goals, you have to remember the following. It's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Leiv chacham liyamino, v'leiv ksil lismolo. A chacham's heart's to his right, and a fool is to the left. Says the Vilna Gaon, what it means is the following. When you're learning a sefer in Hebrew, what you've learned already is to your right. What you've yet to learn is to your left. A foolish person only looks at what he hasn't learned. and he gives up hope. There's so much, I'll never do it. The wise person also looks at what he hasn't learned and has a tremendous desire to learn more and more. But he also looks every once in a while to the right side and appreciates what he's accomplished. You can't just focus in on where you're not. You have to also focus in on what you've accomplished already. It's not where I'd like to be, but it's more than I was before. The concept is you can't be mistopic memut. You can't be satisfied with a minimum when it comes to spiritual things, but you have to be happy with what you have. There's a difference between being happy and being satisfied. I'm happy with what I accomplished. I'm not satisfied with it. I'd like more when it comes to ruchnius. But if you don't appreciate what you accomplished, then you'll be very frustrated, and all you do is give up hope. Therefore, we count the day at the beginning of the day. What am I going to accomplish today that will bring me a little bit closer to my long-range goal of Kabbalah Satorah on the 50th day? At the same time, at the end of the week, we look back and see what we've accomplished. I'm not where I'd like to be. I'd like to be up there on 50, but at least 7 days farther than I was last week. I've accomplished 7 days. I'm a little bit higher than I was last week. So at the same time that we're counting the day, looking ahead to what we haven't yet accomplished, short-range goals and long-range goals, every once in a while we take a look back and appreciate what we've accomplished already that gives us the incentive to go on. That's the counting of the weeks. So that is, in a very bekitzer, summarized nutshell, one idea in Sfiras HaOmer. The Abarbanel adds to that another dimension. It's not just that we have to aspire towards Torah, but our freedom, our physical freedom, is meaningless if it's not guided. Ein lecha ben chorin ela misha osik batorah. Real freedom is where a person is free 100% to do Ratzon Hashem, where he is totally subjugated to the Torah. That's what real freedom is. Because deep down, your neshama knows, all of our neshamas know, that doing Ratzon Hashem is what's best for us. So when we don't do Ratzon Hashem, it's because we have other wills that superimpose on that inner essential will of ours and convince us that other things are good for us. The Yetzer Hara, Shibud Malchios. So we're really a slave to our Yetzer Hara. We're a slave to outside powers. A person's really only free when he can follow that inner will of doing Ratzon Hashem totally. So, Ein Lecha Ben Chorin Ela Misha Osek BaTorah, somebody who's totally involved and immersed in Torah, is the really free person. So, we got our physical freedom on Pesach, but it didn't become complete until Shavuos when we received the Torah. That was when our Chayrus became real Chayrus. So we count the days between to connect. The Ramban says, like Chol HaMoed. The 49 days of Sfira are like a long Chol HaMoed, just like by Sukkot. There's 7 days and then an eighth day. By Pesach, the eighth day, the Atzeres, it's also called Atzeres, looks like Shemini Atzeres, comes 49 days later. Not at the end of seven, but seven times seven. So that is the cherry on the top of the cake of our Cheres, is Matan Torah. And to connect the Yontif of Pesach with the Yontif of Shavuos, with a long, similar kind of idea of Chol HaMoed, we count the days in between. So says the Abarbanel and the Ran and others. Reb Shlomo Shofar Hirsch says that in order to prepare for the Torah properly, since this idea of Sfira is to prepare for the Torah, and we said two sub-ideas. One, we prepare for the Torah by aspiring towards it and desiring it. And secondly, by connecting our freedom, our physical freedom, to spiritual freedom. Thirdly, says Reb Shlomo Shofar Hirsch, im ein Torah ein kemach. If you don't have Torah, then there's no purpose for kemach. Kemach is refined food. Animals don't eat flour. They eat raw grain. Man takes the grain, refines it into flour, and makes bread. If you don't refine your behavior and act like a human being, there's no purpose for flour. You could be, might as well eat grain like an animal. So therefore, we start the Omer with barley, which is animal feed, and we end with two loaves of bread, chametz, refined on Shavuos. And that is the refinement that Torah gives. We connect our physical world with the spiritual world. And we count the days from our physical freedom to spiritual freedom, which is the idea that refinement in this world is only possible if we refine ourselves spiritually also. Okay, so that is one idea. Second idea is the Avudram and the Svarno say a similar idea. The Avudram says that during these days, people are very apprehensive. Ha'olam b'tzar, he says. Tzar over here doesn't mean that they're suffering. It means that they're apprehensive. Because this is the time when either the harvest is successful or it's not successful. And you know what you're going to have to eat the rest of the year. And people are anxious, apprehensive. Is their harvest going to be successful or not? And therefore, people have to be mechaven and daven that the harvest should end successfully. So we bring at the beginning of the harvest. The beginning of the harvest is the barley, which is the early harvest. We bring the omer as a korban. And along with that korban, we begin to daven that the subsequent harvest should be successful. And we thank the Rabbeinu Shem for the beginning of the harvest, says the Sfarno. And then we daven every day. We count the day and remind ourselves that we have to turn towards the Rabbeinu Shalom one day in the Omer, 2 days in the Omer. We're involved with our Parnosa for the whole year, and we have to turn to the Rabbeinu Shalom and pray that it be successful. That's the Sfarno. And I was thinking that that also has a concept of preparing for Torah, because the opposite is also true. Im ein kemach, ein Torah. If you don't have the physical wherewithal, you're not going to be able to learn Torah. If you don't have a physical existence, you can't have a spiritual existence. And the neshama in this world can't exist without a body, and a body can't exist without food. So in order to be able to live a Torah life, a person has to earn a parnasa. And when you're an agricultural society, earning a parnasa means that you have a successful harvest. So in preparation for Torah, we also daven that our parnasa should be successful. So it's also part of preparation for Torah, because the main kemach ain't Torah. And the Ksavi Kabbalah says an interesting idea. He says that Omer, Lehis Amer, means to be subjugated. Altis Amer Ba. Right? If you buy a woman who you capture in war, and you want to make her Jewish, and she doesn't want to, the halacha is you have to let her free. Altis Amer Ba. Don't subjugate her. So he says, you see, the word imur can also mean to subjugate. So the Omer is a time of subjugating ourselves totally to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and a person, when he is involved in harvesting and planting and plowing, he begins to think, Kochi Votzim Yodi, I can take care of my Gashmias. So part of the Omer is to remember that you are not the Bala Boss. You can't guarantee everything. You need the Ribbono Shel Olam to make sure that your harvest is going to be successful. You could do everything right and it won't rain. Or bugs will come. Or locusts will come. Or a million things can happen. So you have to daven that the Ribbono Shel Olam should make your harvest successful, part of being able to accept the Torah is recognizing that you have to subjugate yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, even in the physical things. So during the time that we're harvesting our grain, we're counting the days and davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam should be successful. That's also a preparation for Kabbalah Satorah, because it teaches us to subjugate everything we have to the Ribbono Shel Olam. All our hatzlacha, everything depends on the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why the Meshech Chachma says that so many mitzvahs were given that have to do with agriculture, because there is a tremendous danger that when people are producing their food supply, that they'll forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Torah surrounded us with mitzvahs, with agriculture, so you constantly remember that you're not in this alone. The Rokeach says a very strange idea in Sfiras HaOmer. The topic of my drosha this Shabbos is going to be this Rokeach. I'll tell you just a glimpse of what I plan to say, but let me tell you what he says. He says that since during this time between Pesach and Shavuos, most Jews were out in the fields, and they were what's it called busy harvesting their grain, there was a danger they forget when Shavuos was. So therefore, we count the days so we don't forget to celebrate Shavuos. Now that is very strange, because if that was the whole purpose of Sfiras HaOmer, not everybody had a count. Just somebody who wasn't involved in harvesting, like the Beis Din, the rabbi, right, should a few days before Shavuos send messengers into the fields to remind people to celebrate Shavuos. You forget when Shavuos is. Get a calendar, hang it up, tie a little red string around your finger. Right? How do you forget when Shavuos is? Right? The women will come out into the fields before Shavuos, right, and say, we've been baking cheesecake, and get home, Shavuos is coming. What in the world? You have to count every day so you don't forget Shavuos. So what I plan to say is that forgetting doesn't mean, the Rokeach didn't mean that if we didn't count every day, we would totally forget that Shavuos was coming and not celebrate the holiday. It's not what he meant. Forgetting doesn't necessarily mean you forget something completely. It means that you're not aware of it. It's not on your mind. It's filed away. You're mesiach das from it. I'll prove it to you. This I heard from, I don't remember who the person was. I heard it at a Torah Masorah convention from the representative of the Ger Hasidim in New York. I don't remember his name, but I heard it from him. It says that, what's it called, Rivka tells Yaakov Avinu that I'm sending you to Lavan, and I want you to stay there until Esav forgets what you did to him. Did Rivka Imenu think for a second that someday Esav's going to forget what Yaakov did to him? That he stole his brachas? Right, one day he'll wake up in the morning and he won't remember anymore, right? And somebody will say to him, hey, remember what your brother did to you? He said, no, I just can't put my finger on it, what he did. That's something you don't forget your whole life. How in the world did Rivka say, one day Esav will forget what you did and then you can come home? And obviously Esav never forgot it. But forgetting doesn't necessarily mean that he forgot it completely. It means it didn't make an impression on him. He wasn't aware of it anymore. He remembered it, but it wasn't something relevant. It was just stored away in his memory bank. It wasn't something that affected him. When something becomes dim and dull and it doesn't affect you, that's also called forgetting. Forgetting can be not quantitatively, but qualitatively. The quality is forgotten, not the thing itself. And therefore, that's what the rokeach means. Since people are so involved in making a living for the coming year, this is the crucial time of the year, harvest. Barley, wheat, this is what you have to feed your animals, the barley, and what you have to eat for the whole year. This is the staple, the mainstay of life. So because of that, you may forget the whole yontif of Shavuos of Kabbalah Satora. Not you forget to celebrate it, but the whole idea will become dull, meaning the following. The Mesillas Yesharim says, what prevents a person from working on his midos and improving his character, which is important in preparing for the Torah, because the main derech eretz ain't Torah. Derech eretz kod mala Torah. It's one of the reasons that Sfiras HaOmer is related to midos. Every day is a different midah of the Rabbanu Shalom. Every week is a different of the seven midos, chesed, gvura, tiferes, and so on. And every day is chesed of chesed, and gvura of chesed, and tiferes of chesed, and netzach of chesed, and so on. So every day is a different midah that we work on, because if you don't work on your midos, you can't possibly have the Torah, because derech eretz kod mala Torah. And if you want to connect and attach yourself to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, the way to do it is to emulate his midos, to be like him. So for both of those reasons, if you want to receive the Torah is an attachment to God. You're attaching yourself to God by learning his Torah, which is his Ratzon. You're attaching yourself to Ratzon Hashem. But you can't attach yourself to God unless you're similar to him. So to be similar, you have to have midos tovos. And you can't have Torah unless you have derech eretz. So and for both of those reasons, the preparation for Torah is working on your midos, Musar. And the Mesillas Yesharim says in Zehirus, that one of the things that prevents a person from being careful with what he does and making a cheshbon ha-nefesh is the fact that he gets so involved in his daily pursuits that he's just too busy to think. He's too busy to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. And then he'll never be careful of what he does, never improve, never be mekabel musar, never work on his midos or whatever. That's one idea that the rokeach means. You're going to be so involved in working and preparing your parnosa for the year, you're not going to have time to make a cheshbon and prepare yourself for Kabbalah Satorah by working on your midos. Because what prevents people from working on their midos is being too busy. So therefore the Torah said you have to stop every day for a few seconds and make a cheshbon. Count the days. And once you have to stop for a second and make a cheshbon, you'll remember to make a cheshbon on nefesh too, and that will help to prepare for the Torah. That you won't forget the Torah, meaning you won't be meshiach das from it. You won't become dull to the Torah because you won't prepare for it properly. Second idea is, when a person is involved in his gashmias, he forgets about ruchnias. His head becomes completely in his parnasa, in money, in the physical, material world. And he forgets about ruchnias. Ruchnias is not important to him. So he doesn't have any, appreciation of ruchnias. So if every day we have to stop and count time is not a physical thing. Time is a spiritual thing. So we remember also there's more to life than just food. There's also ruchnias part of time, of life. The third thing is, when you're so busy harvesting or whatever, you concentrate on surviving and not on elevating yourself. So the whole idea of aspiring towards higher and higher things is forgotten. So in order to do that, we have Sfiras HaOmer, where we aspire towards the Torah, to remember it's not enough just to survive. You have to aspire, especially for more and more spiritual heights. That's also a preparation for the Torah that could come to be forgotten because you're so involved in your parnasa. And the last idea is, like we said, when you're involved in your parnasa, you begin to think that you're in control. And if you're in control, God can't tell you what to do. I control. But there's one thing in this world we don't control, time. Can't stop it. It runs you. you don't run it. So every day we stop and count the day and realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam controls time, and that's all we really have in this world, and therefore everything else is dependent on time. You don't have time, there's nothing you can do. So this whole world is time, and time is run by God. So therefore, it reminds us that we don't run the world, that God does, and that prepares us for the Kabbalah Satorah too. But because we're so involved in preparing our parnasa for the year, it's possible that we'll forget the ideas that are necessary for Kabbalah Satorah, as we mentioned. That's what he means. Not that we'll forget to celebrate Shavuos. We'll forget the basics that enable us to celebrate Shavuos properly. That's the Rokeach. At least the way I understand it. Then there's the Ramah. The Ramah says that these days are days of din. The Mishnah says that the Rishayim and Gehenim, according to one opinion, this is the time of year where they are judged most harshly. It's a time of din. That could be the reason why the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva died during this time, because the Midas HaDin is very, very strong during this time. And therefore, by counting and anticipating and anxiously awaiting the Torah, it's as if we were Makabal the Torah already, and it sweetens and mitigates the din. Because when a person accepts upon himself something, it's as if he did it. So counting towards Kabbalah Satorah is as if we already received the Torah. And receiving the Torah helps to mitigate the din of these times. The Zohar HaKadosh and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and the Alshich all say a similar idea, that in order to receive the Torah, we had to purify ourselves. We were down to the Memtes Sharei Tuma in Mitzrayim, and when we left Mitzrayim, we went out of the Sharei Tuma, but we had to become tar. We had to get extra tahara. You can't receive the Torah unless you're tar, unless you're pure. Purity is a prerequisite for Torah. Torah has to be learned with tahara. So therefore, we needed to purify ourselves. The purification from Tumah to Tahara usually takes 7 days. We needed 7 times 7 days to purify ourselves. Because we were down to the 49th level of Tumah, we had to get to the 49th level of Tahara. In fact, we see from there that Tumah and Tahara are not minus 49 to plus 49. Because if you had to go from minus 49 to plus 49, we need 98 days. But they're like parallel ladders. As you leave Tumah, you achieve a level of Tahara. So for every level of Tumah you lose, you gain a level of Tahara. The opposite is also true. It's like going from ladder to ladder. And if you achieve the highest level of Tahara, there the greatest danger is that if you fall off that ladder, you're going to fall onto the highest level of Tumah. So the greater a person, the greater the Yetzer Hara, the greater the danger. But they're parallel. So for every level of Tumah that you lose, you gain Tahara. For every level of Tahara you lose, you gain Tumah. Yeah.
So when they left Mitzrayim, had they not lost?
No. So when they left Mitzrayim, they didn't leave at zero. They left with a program, right? They left with the Ribbono Shel Olam that night, picked them up artificially. And then he said, now you have 49 days to do it on your own.
And then what do they have to do? Get rid of each level? You have
each level of Tumah and acquire at the same time a level of Tahara. Yeah.
How can you automatically get a level of Tahara?
It's not automatic. Yeah, they had to work on it. They had to work on the Sur Meira and the Ashei Tov.
Just because I've been dead, that's something good.
What? Yeah, no, they had to, you work for something good in two ways. One is by taking away the negative, and then filling that vacuum with something positive.
You have to fill it.
Yeah, 100%. Right. So therefore, Sfiras HaOmer, according to them, has another connotation. Aside from Sfira to count, Sapir is a sapphire. Saphir, sphor, means also to crystallize, lezachech. What is that in English? To what's it called? To purify something. So the word sphira also means to purify, to crystallize, and that's sphira saomer. And that's why it says, uspartem lochem, you have to crystallize and purify yourselves. Lochem. Not just count, but purify your neshamas and crystallize them. The Rokeach says another idea, that aside from the Chamishim Shari Tahara, you also need Chamishim Shari Bina to receive the Torah. Torah, you need Tahara, because Torah is not just wisdom, it's Kedusha, Tahara, but it's also wisdom. So you need the gates of wisdom too, and there are 50 gates of wisdom. The Ramban explains what they are every gate of wisdom is another classification of Bria in this world, whether it's physical or spiritual. Malachim is make one gate of wisdom, all birds or another. I don't know if that's exactly the way it is. If I knew anything about the gates of wisdom, I could tell you, but I'm conjecturing that's what the Ramban means, right? Different classifications of things. The 50th gate of wisdom is understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creation, which even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do. So the most you can reach is 49. The 50th already is beyond our comprehension of really totally understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's the 50th classification. So in order to really, the Torah is the blueprint for the world. Everything in the world is contained in the Torah, and everything in the Torah is manifested in the world. That's why there were great gedolim who were able to understand the chachma of nature from the Torah. The Chazon Ish, famous maaser with the Chazon Ish, a couple from Baltimore who their child needed a rare brain operation. They came to the Chazon Ish for a bracha. So he heard very detailed what the operation was supposed to be. And he said, he took out an envelope, and he scribbled something on the envelope, and he said, when you go back to America, give this to the doctor who's making the operation. So they thought it was some kind of kemia, you know, some kind of Kabbalah thing that maybe the doctor should put in his pocket when he makes the operation. It'll be a segula that everything comes out okay. So when they came back to America, they said, we visited a very old, venerated rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, and he gave us this thing that we'd like you to bring into the operation with you. We're not sure exactly what it is, but it looks to us like some kind of Kabbalistic thing that will make the operation successful. Doctor takes a look at it and he says, this is not any Kabbalistic thing. This is a description of the operation. This is the way we surgeons write up the operation in symbols. He said, and not only that, you don't have to be embarrassed that you went to another doctor for another opinion. And in fact, I'm very impressed because I developed this technique and this other doctor, right, seems to have improved on it, something that I never even thought of. A better way of doing the operation. They said, no, you understand. This is an old rabbi, right, and you're seeing something in this that doesn't exist there. This is probably some kind of Kabbalah. He said, no, I know what it is. And don't be embarrassed. I don't mind that you went for another opinion, and this doctor seems to be very, very involved. I thought I was the expert on this procedure, and I see there's somebody else in the world who is a bigger expert. So they told him, well, I'm telling you, it's an old rabbi. Couldn't believe it. He went to Eretz Yisrael, he met the Chazon Ish, and he became frum because of that. So where did the Chazon Ish learn this from? He never went to medical school. He probably never opened a medical text. But if you know how to learn Torah properly, so the Torah is the blueprint of all the world. So everything in medicine and in nature is in the Torah. But you have to know how to read a blueprint. If I look at a blueprint, it looks like a bunch of squiggles on a paper. If an architect looks at a blueprint, He can tell you every pipe where it is in the house based on the blueprint. He doesn't have to ever see the house. He can tell you exactly what it looks like. All he has to do is look at the blueprint. In fact, the opposite is also true. If you're a very, very good architect, you can look at the house and know what the blueprint looks like. So the Avos learned Torah by learning it from the world. They looked at the world and they understood what the blueprint was, the Torah. The Chazon Ish learned medicine from the Torah. But you have to be the Chazon Ish to do that, not stop them. So therefore, since everything in the Torah is manifested in the world and vice versa, the Torah is a blueprint, so to really understand the Torah, you have to understand everything in the world. So you have to get to the 49th level of Bina to be able to understand every classification of the world to really understand the Torah properly. So you need 49 days to at least get a smattering of the 49 Sha'arei Bina. That is another idea that the Rokeach says. The Tzedek LeDerech says that the 7 weeks of counting correspond to the 7 planets, Kochbei Leches. Now, we know that there are 9 planets, but in Chazal, they only speak about 7 planets. Now, that's not really a contradiction. I'll explain to you why not. What is a planet really depends on your description or your guidelines as what you consider a planet. There are many, many more bodies out there in space between the Sun and Pluto. Okay, they're asteroids, but they are not defined as planets according to the scientists' qualifications. But if you make other and those are just arbitrary. If you make other qualifications, there could be hundreds of planets. If you have another qualification that something has to be close enough to the Sun to have a connection somehow to all the other planets, then Pluto and Uranus are way out there and really have no connection. And not only that, they think they found other planets after that. But according to the qualification of the Torah, what's considered a koch leches is only something up till a certain point. After that, it's like the asteroids or whatever. It may fit into the solar system, but it's not called a kochav leches. It doesn't fit the Torah's qualification, just like there are certain things that don't fit scientists' qualification. There's no absolute idea of how many planets there are. It depends what you define as a planet, how many there are. If you change the definition, then the number changes. So according to the Torah's definition of kochav leches, is only 7. And what else is beyond after that is not called a kochav leches, it's some other qualification, some other name. So he says that when we receive the Torah, until we receive the Torah, we're like the Bnei Noach. They have 7 mitzvahs. They are controlled by nature. They are under nature. That's why they have 7 mitzvahs, 7 natural mitzvahs to keep in sync with nature, not to murder, not to steal, not to be cruel, and so on. Our mitzvahs start at 8, Bris Milah. Beyond nature, above nature. We're beyond nature. But in order to get beyond nature, you have to first compensate for nature. So we have 7 weeks that correspond to the 7 heavenly bodies that form the roof of nature of this world, and then we accept the Torah and we go beyond nature. That's what the Tzedek LeDerech says. And therefore, all of these ideas have one common thread in them, that the purpose of Sfiras HaOmer is Hachana for Kabbalah Satorah. They all, in some way, prepare us for Shavuos, all from all different kinds of perspectives. Yes?
How is being controlled by the 7 mitzvahs may not mean that you're controlled by nature?
The Goyim, the Maral says, have 7 mitzvahs because they basically, their purpose in this world is to maintain a harmony with nature. They don't have to be beyond nature. They have to see to it that they create a natural world. Their job in this world is to maintain a natural world where the Jewish people then can make use of that natural world and infuse it with Kedusha. There has to be an infrastructure in order for there to be Kedusha in the world. If you don't have a body, you can't have a soul. They take care of the body of the world. So they have to remain in harmony with the natural world. So their mitzvahs revolve around the number seven, and they are mitzvahs of morality, of not destroying nature. There's nothing beyond nature in their mitzvahs. Our mitzvahs are going beyond nature. The nature is to be born in Orel, and we change nature and become have a bris milah. That's number eight, right? So our mitzvahs start at eight and then go to 613, which is a totally different system than just maintaining harmony with nature, but perfecting nature and going beyond nature. So that's something similar to what the Tzedek L'Derech says. Okay, so you have something to think about at least for the next few weeks in preparation for Shavuos of what Sfiras HaOmer is all about. Okay.